has been combing the East End with his ear to the ground.
Reggie should be there because he's done his porridge, what they call bird. He's done enough time, right, but they're entitled to come out now for the bird they're done.
Reggie and Ronnie Cray will both celebrate 60 years tomorrow, but 25 of those have been spent behind bars. In spite of doing so much time, their names are just as well known today as they were in the 60s. Gangland's author, James Morton, says the Crays were never far from the limelight.
And certainly the Crays courted publicity, and because they courted or were or show business personalities, racing personalities and so on, were attracted to them, I suspect that's why they have lingered on.
Those showbiz personalities continue to pledge support, with the likes of Barbara Windsor, EastEnder Mike Read and Patsy Kensit all signing the petition. But Frankie Fraser, who was convicted with the rival Richardson gang in the 60s, says the Crays' talent for publicity could now be working against them.
It could be a double-edged sword, in a way. The authorities don't like anything. I think where there's too much media attention at times. There wouldn't hurt any women or children. They wouldn't dream of anything like that. They wouldn't hurt any hard-working man, any nice man. The only time to have a row with anyone would be people like themselves, where they're defending themselves, actually.
Ex-Cray associate, gunman and now author Joe Cannon says Reggie should already have been released, but Ronnie, a patient at Broadmoor Hospital, must wait until doctors certify him sane.
I'm absolutely certain Reggie should have been let out a few years ago. He's not out, but he definitely should be let out and given the rest of his days to try to make amends of life. Ronnie, it's a different situation with Ronnie. Ronnie's in Broadmoor. So, I would not speak for Ronnie. It's up to the doctors there to say when he should be released.
At the Blind Beggar pub in Whitechapel, where Ronnie Cray shot dead rival gangster Georgie Cornell, the mood of the punters is one of leniency.
Well, other people have actually done a lot more worse crimes than Reggie and Ronnie Cray since that time, and they're still walking the streets, you know. I mean, in 25 years, you've got people from 1965 to 1975 who have committed terrible, terrible crimes against children and old people, and they've gone to prison for life, and now they're walking the streets. So, you know, why can't they let them two out?
What do they want? It's this establishment. The rumour's going around that he's got to say sorry. Sorry for what? He's done his bird. He ain't got to apologise to no one.
Tomorrow in Hyde Park, campaigners will be calling for parole to be granted to Reggie Cray. If that fails, he'll stay in prison until 1999. James Morton feels that other criminals have got off more lightly.
Certainly, I'm not the Home Secretary who's the one who says whether he should be released, but all one would say is that a number of people who have committed as similarly unattractive murders seem to have been released rather earlier.
The decision on Reggie Cray's parole won't be made until later in the year. If the bid is successful, drinkers at the Blind Beggar anticipate a celebration that promises a few fireworks.
Yeah, welcome. We have a big party in here. Guns and revolvers.
He's on the champagne.
Indeed. Ronnie and Reggie Cray still doing time, still doing their bird. They've got another 5 years to go, I think. The judge said they should be away for 30 years. That gives them until, 98. We shall see. Anyway, a demonstration or a rally in Hyde Park tomorrow and a march to Downing Street. I suspect the Prime Minister will not be there to receive them. 12:30 to 7, LBC.
A bottle of Tippex, please, Miss Hetherington.
Sorry, PM. No Tippex. The Chancellor's trying out new Vanisher.
But Tippex comes in a big 30ml bottle.
I know.
And Tippex has excellent coverage and is the number one brand.
I know, PM. My vote's firmly in favour of Tippex.
A big bottle of 30ml Tippex, Miss Hetherington. And while you're at it, get me the Chancellor.
With pleasure, PM.
The big Tippex 30ml bottle. Big brand quality, big brand value. In fact, big in every sense. Tippex.
If you're a Park qualified accountant, then chances are you'll already be reading Pass magazine. For the last 10 years, Pass has been the first choice for jobs, products, services and news. Get your copy by phoning the helpline today on 0622 722 722.
First choice, Park qualified, Pass magazine.
0622 722 722.
The city and business news that matters on the day it matters. Every weekday evening on Angela Rippon's award-winning Drive Time programme, you'll hear a comprehensive roundup on the markets, all the company news, and of course we'll let you know the gossip from the square mile. If you have a head for success, catch the Drive Time City and Business News, brought to you by Mercury Asset Management, Britain's leading investment house.
Yo, it's exactly, 11 minutes to 7 o'clock, LBC News Talk. It is Friday, October the 8th, as I have mentioned to you. It is LBC's birthday today, Britain's first independent radio station, 20 happy years old today. And to celebrate, here's Douglas Cameron with an historic moment from the past 20 years.
LBC was launched in 1973 next door to Dr. Johnson's house in Gough Square, a stone's throw from Fleet Street. Morning presenter David Jessel was the first voice to be heard, and the first story was the Yom Kippur War between Israel and several neighbouring Arab countries.
This is London Broadcasting, the news and information voice of Independent Radio. Welcome to LBC at 6 o'clock, October the 8th. My name's David Jessel, this is The Morning Show, and here's the news. This is Ken Guy with LBC News. The Middle East War. A meeting of the United Nations Security Council has been called in a bid to stop the fighting. It'll be held at 8:30 tonight, British time. The meeting was called after an urgent request from the United States early this morning. President Nixon has returned unexpectedly to Washington, cutting short his stay in Florida to take personal control of the American attempt to stop the war. Diplomatic sources say the Americans fear that more Arab states will join in the war if it is allowed to continue.
Gosh, a little blast from the past there, some old but golden goodies. From the first day of the LBC 20 years ago, I'm reliably told by Rebecca Marston, who knows these things, that the, what was his name?
David Jessel.
David Jessel. After that gripping announcement, they went outside and threw up through nerves, did he? I see. You know how he feels sometimes. It's 9 to 7 o'clock, LBC. Frederick.
I've been driving a cab for 15 months.
Had you?
Yes, I got my badge June 1972, so there I was at my little taxi. We weren't allowed to have radios in our cab, so I wouldn't have heard LBC that first morning.
Couldn't you have radios then?
No, it's a relatively recent phenomenon. Things like comfort for the driver, like a seat, for example.
That's the thing. Okay.
Well, there we go. Cab drivers and everybody else out there this morning. One or two problems surfacing already. The A1M northbound, the exit slip near Hatfield, an accident there, not causing too many problems. And the M41, the northern roundabout to the southern roundabout, southbound, one lane is closed because they're doing some road works there. And apart from the lights out at Talgarth and Glidden Road, I'm afraid we've also got a burst water main eastbound, just east of the Hammersmith flyover, and that will cause a few problems. On the underground, no reported problems, and on British Rail, just that problem between Arlesford and Great Bentley affecting services on the Colchester-Liverpool Street line. Traffic and trains every 10 minutes.
Thank you, my poppet. 8 to 7.
Imaginative. If this describes your approach to business, then you should know about Securicor Cellular Services winning business awards. For details, call 0582 490 430.
Business news now, 8 to 7, Rebecca Marston.
Good morning. Share markets overnight mostly lower, mainly pulled back by profit-taking. Australia and Hong Kong this week, of course, have performed particularly well. Hong Kong was above 8,000, a record high, and the Australian markets hit a six-year high. Otherwise, the foreign exchanges are totally dead, apart from some Bank of Japan dollar buying in the last 20 minutes or so. Sterling's up a touch on this last day of the Conservative Party conference. It's made modest gains over the week, partly boosted by the lack of an interest rate cut. London dealers spent yesterday morning waiting for the Chancellor Kenneth Clark to make his speech at the conference. The Times reports this morning the city's warning the Chancellor not to jeopardise the recovery by raising taxes too much. He hinted yesterday he may have to look at further tax increases. And with the budget so close to Christmas, retail experts are warning it could be a disaster for shops if he does. It would scupper consumer confidence and pockets, of course, at the most important time of the year for many businesses. Most are holding out the hope that there'll be a cut in borrowing to offset tax rises, but bearing in mind this isn't likely to be passed on in full to mortgage holders, savers will see the value of their income eroded, and that still leaves more than half of the nation who don't have mortgages worse off. A 1% cut may not be enough of a sweetener. To the prospects, mainly political, the Chancellor yesterday did his bit for the Prime Minister, saying any enemy of John Major is no friend of the Conservative Party, and later today Mr Major himself will address the conference. On the subject of economics, there are no domestic economic numbers here, but over in the States, the important September employment report, and that's forecast to show unemployment in the States at 6.7%, with weakness in the manufacturing sector being offset by growth in services and state and local government employment.
Thank you, Rebecca Marston. Business news this morning, 6:30 to 7.
It was the boss's birthday. We bought him an Epson inkjet printer. He went to pieces.
A present. What's this? Now I can do my own private printing. No more queuing. No more bothering Daphne. My very own Epson.
Epson Stylus 800, to be precise. Laser quality printing, up to 3 pages a minute at only 1.5p a page. Built-in sheet feeder, permanent Epson printhead, runs with all major software. The Epson Stylus 800, a snip at £299 or less?
It's too good to cost so little.
So why the tears? We think it's because he can't stand in the printer queue with Daphne anymore. Dial 100 and ask for free phone inkjet.
LBC, in conjunction with the Business Design Centre Islington, present the next in the series of London debates, focusing on the issues which affect life in the capital. On October the 13th and 14th, the LBC London debates focus on the future of independent broadcasting and Europe and the role for Britain. With speakers representing all opinions, LBC's London debates are the capital's most active forum. Make sure you take part. For your free tickets, call 071-288-6088. That's 288-6088.
5:30 to 7 o'clock, LBC News Talk, as you may have gathered. More of life in London now. After 300 years, the oldest working theatre in the world, the Theatre Royal, Drury Lane, of course, has come up with a new attraction itself today. For the first time in 3 centuries, the Theatre Royal is offering you a look backstage, perhaps where you've never been before. There's a lot of history there to look at, both on and off stage. Royal scandals, attempted assassinations, the odd murder, and, of course, the resident ghost. Mark Phillips is treading the boards there this morning. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. You said I'd be on the stage this morning. I'm actually under the stage, so I didn't even get to see the good bits. We're actually down under the stage at the Drury Lane Theatre Royal, where above me is the set for Miss Saigon, which is shortly looks like becoming the longest-running production musical in the West End. But this is a theatre literally full of history, 300 years of it. It was commissioned by Charles II. This is where he met and then wooed Nell Gwynn and her Oranges. Over the years, they've had many, many premieres, ranging from Shakespeare to My Fair Lady. The songs Rule Britannia and God Save the Queen were first heard here as
really?
Well. Yes, apparently so. Mm-hmm. Mike Appleby is the retail services manager here. We're actually standing by these huge, great hydraulic rams, which are apparently more than 100 years old, the bits that move parts of the stage up and down. Why have you thrown open this part of the theatre to the public?
Well, for many years, I suppose we've treated the place like a private museum. And the management have walked around touching things and enjoying these sights ourselves. And it's really just a wanting to share with the general public. And to that end, today, for the first time, the doors open. And the first tour is departing at 11 o'clock.
Now, tell us about some of the things that have happened here. Murders, assassinations?
Well, yes. I mean, George I and George III were both nearly assassinated here. And obviously we have our resident ghost as well, who walks the back of the upper circle.
I'll keep my eyes out for is it him or her?
It was a him. It's man in grey.
I'll keep my eye out for the man in grey. Now, Lita Smirnoff is actually the tour supervisor. You'll be showing people around. So what can we see?
Well, basically, we'll be opening areas of the auditorium, which during the day are normally not open to the public. They'll be able to see a lot of famous statues and artwork which is on display in the theatre. And the major bonus, of course, is that people will be able to come below stage and also have a look at some of the areas backstage, like paint rooms and the ballet room.
There's also some very grand areas as well, the Royal Box, places like that we don't normally see.
That is correct, yes. They'll be having a look at that as well. And also we have the Rotunda and the Grand Saloon and Ballroom. The Ballroom is normally not open to the public either, but has functioned as a ballroom to this theatre ever since this building was built in 1812.
We did have a good look upstairs at the Royal Box in the area behind it. Won't we upset the Queen if we go traipsing around there? After all, it is beautiful. It's a real 24-carat gold leaf in there.
We'll take care of it.
Now, what I understand, also bombs fell here in World War II that did a lot of damage, and you've still got a bit of it here.
That is correct, yes. On the evening of the 15th of October 1940 at 11:55, Mr. Hitler dropped a gas cylinder bomb on us, which went through the roof, through all the tiers of the theatre, and eventually landed in the Steels Bar. But fortunately, it didn't explode.
And you've resurrected it, have you?
We have indeed, yes. It's going to be going on a plinth into the Stores Bar this morning.
Have you made it safe?
We have indeed, yes.
I'm glad to know. So it really is a fascinating sight to get a glimpse of the theatre that people don't normally see. Have you cleaned it up at all? Because it really does look as if this is how it normally works.
No, we haven't. Really, the theatre is exactly as we normally have it. We've changed nothing. It's a working theatre, and I think that's what makes it so interesting for the public to see how it really happened.
How do we get tickets to join the tour?
Well, you can either ring our box office and book through our phone room, which is 494-5091.
494-5091. And is this just today, or is it going on forever, or what?
Forever. Oh, or you can just show up at the door.
Oh, right. Okay, that's terrific. The first one is what time this morning?
11 o'clock.
That's booked out, is it, though?
It is. The 11 o'clock one's booked, but the 1 o'clock isn't yet.
Okay, that sounds terrific. Thanks very much indeed. Mark Phillips down there at the Theatre Royal, Drury Lane, 300 years of theatre. I think that'd be fascinating, wouldn't it? If you're quick, you can get there at 1 o'clock today. It's 30 seconds to 7. Fred.
No major problems on the motorways at the moment, with the exception of the A1M northbound exit slip at Junction 2 Hatfield, a report of an accident there. And if you're coming over Hammersmith Flyover eastbound, apart from the lights being out at Glidden Road, the near side lane's taken out by a burst water main. On the underground, no reported problems, but on British Rail between Arlesford and Great Bentley, services into Colchester and Liverpool Street being affected by some problems there. Traffic and trains every 10 minutes.
7 o'clock, news is next.
LBC News Talk 97.3. News.
Good morning, it's 7 o'clock. I'm Douglas Cameron. In this bulletin, the Prime Minister will appeal for party unity today as he winds up the Conservative conference. President Clinton sends more troops to Somalia. And shock figures show half the teenagers have tried illegal drugs. John Major's expected to warn the Tories today to unite or risk losing the next election. He'll make one of the most crucial speeches of his career as the party's conference at Blackpool comes to an end. The Prime Minister will aim to assert his authority and try to bring the left and right wings of the party together behind his leadership. He's won strong backing from his cabinet colleagues this week, and today he has to appeal to rank-and-file supporters. Right-wing backbencher Theresa Gorman, who's been an outspoken critic of Mr. Major, says he must concentrate on traditional Tory values.
I hope that the Prime Minister will respond to the conference, who were clearly worked up on Wednesday when Michael Howard did his piece on law and order and Peter Lilly did his piece about social services and the need to reform it. That's the kind of stuff which the rank-and-file Conservative want their Prime Minister to talk about and do. They don't give a stuff about Europe.
President Clinton is sending 5,000 more troops to Somalia, but he's promising all US soldiers there will be back home by the end of March. He's been on TV to explain the decision, which follows the deaths this week of 14 Americans. They were attacked by gunmen loyal to General Ideed, and U.S. Defense Secretary Les Aspin has issued this warning to the fugitive warlord.
The message to Mr. Ideed is this: do not underestimate American resolve. Do not think that any harm you do to our servicemen will be forgotten by me, the President, or by the American people. We intend to have our man back, and we hold you personally responsible for his safety.
The United Nations is expected to lift economic sanctions against South Africa today. The UN General Assembly will vote this afternoon, but the result is a formality following a direct appeal for the change by the leader of the ANC, Nelson Mandela. Nearly half Britain's teenagers have tried illegal drugs by the time they leave school, and up to a third are regular users, according to a new report. Researchers at Manchester University have interviewed 16-year-olds and say up to 50% try drugs, despite expensive government health campaigns. Mike Linnell, from a Manchester project designed to help youngsters on drugs, says it's time to update the education message.
Patterns of drug use amongst the young have changed. People are using more and more drugs. What we can do is provide them with accurate information in the same way that, you know, in terms of sex education, we would warn them of the dangers. We would hope that they don't have sex too young, but we'd make sure they have condoms. We'd make sure they know about pregnancy and sexual transmitted diseases.
LBC News Time, 3 minutes past seven. The Brent East MP Ken Livingstone is claiming there are rogue elements among British security forces that assassinate Republican sympathisers in Northern Ireland. And he says the government turns a blind eye to the unofficial shoot-to-kill policy. Mr. Livingstone has made the allegations in San Francisco, where he's testifying in the extradition trial of IRA suspect James Smith, who escaped from the Mays prison in Belfast 10 years ago. Loyalist gunmen have opened fire on a taxi in the city centre of Belfast. No one was hurt, but two women passengers received treatment for shock. Young voters in London are so disillusioned by politicians they're not bothering to vote. That's according to a new survey by the British Youth Council. It says one in four young Londoners aren't registered to vote. The council's general secretary, Graham Hitchin, has been telling LBC politicians are not addressing the needs of young people.
In previous periods, they have actually got out and said what they feel and got involved, whether it be through marching through the streets or actually rejecting ideas or getting involved in some form of politics. Young people these days, I feel, have been completely marginalised from the whole system.
Viscount Linley is getting married today, or so he hopes. His bride-to-be, the heiress Serena Stanhope, failed to turn up for their wedding rehearsal yesterday. But Lord Linley, who's the Queen's nephew, is hoping that she'll get to the church on time for the service this afternoon in Westminster. Certainly Rebecca Marston's turned up to give us the financial news. The markets have started trading this morning in the wake of small falls for stock markets overnight.
I'm always available, Douglas. Thank you. Most markets have been hit by profit-taking after this week's strong gains. Tokyo, those higher, the Nikkei index is up 124 points at 20,390. Over in America, the Dow Jones closed down 15.36 at 3583.63. In Australia, the All Ordinaries index has recovered from a lower opening. It's up 2 points currently at 20.24. In the foreign exchanges, the Bank of Japan has been buying dollars in an otherwise quiet business. Against the yen, the dollar's up slightly at 105 and a third. Against the mark, unchanged at 1 mark 62 and a third. The pound's up a touch against the dollar at 152 and a third. Against the mark, unchanged at 2 marks 47 and a quarter. And against the yen, up a quarter of a yen at 160 and a half. And UK shares start trading in an hour's time.
Here's Dominic with the sport.
Kevin Keegan has signed a new 3-year contract as manager of Newcastle United. There's no escape clause in the contract, which effectively rules him out as a possible successor to Graham Taylor as England's manager. Ryan Giggs and Lee Sharp have agreed to two new 5-year contracts at Manchester United. The Giggs deal should end AC Milan's attempts to take him to Italy. Lancashire County Cricket Club had another setback yesterday when Philip de Freitas asked to be released from his contract for family reasons. Lancashire agreed to his request, and he could well join Warwickshire next season. Michael Jones, the All Blacks' open-side flanker, will miss the forthcoming tour of England and Scotland. He fractured his jaw in two places in a freak accident during training in Auckland on Wednesday. 11 athletes failed drugs tests at the Chinese National Games in Beijing last month, but Wang Yongxia and Ku Yongxia, the two women who broke 3 world records by large margins at the Games, are not among those who tested positive. The 2-day race meeting at Ascot, which was due to start today, has been abandoned because the course is waterlogged. The meetings at Market Raisin and Carlisle will go ahead.
Coming up, the weather.
Today's poem reminds us, if one buys any two selected famous name toiletries from the Tesco Health and Beauty section, one gets a third one free. The poet would not appear to be at his best in the morning.
The sleepy mind, in dreamlike state, incoherent to life's dramas. The cold shower hits, reality strikes. I'm still in my pajamas.
And that concludes the Tesco Thought for the Day.
Now, here's Philip with that weather.
From the LBC weather station, the temperature 9.9, the wind is southeasterly at 3 miles an hour, the barometer 1,003.5 millibars, and air quality this morning is good. Still no sign of an end to the long unsettled spell. First thing this morning, there are a few mispatches, chiefly around the northern fringes of London. One or two scattered light showers as well, nothing serious at the moment. And through the day, I think we'll have large amounts of cloud. The sun will appear from time to time, though I don't think any sunny spells today will be very lengthy. The clouds will produce some further showers from mid or late morning onwards, and especially later this afternoon, those showers will become quite widespread. Some heavy ones as well, with a 10% chance of thunder. Top temperature 15 degrees, which is a degree below the seasonal average. Overnight tonight, further showers. Philip Eden, LBC Weather.
A very good morning to you. This is Bram Wolf. I'm with the DHL London Lookout helicopter. The Plumstead situation on King's Highway. There has been an accident. Camden, Caledonian Road, junction with Market Road. Another accident there. That's involving a lorry. The A13 Cotton Street westbound. We're down to one lane because of gas repairs. Lone Pit Fairley might get a bit stuck. Sloane Street and Cadogan, gas main repairs there. Single alternate line traffic and temporary traffic lights. The A1M, a north exit slip, been an accident there. And finally, the A4, the Tolgarth Road, a burst water main that's just east of Hammersmith's Bridge, and that is townbound. It's Bram Wolf, your London Lookout, delivered by DHL Worldwide Express.
Avoid the traffic and enjoy the splendour of a royal day out at Windsor by train on Network South East. See your local station for special discounts. Network South East, the line to Windsor.
Heavens, what happened to the band? Just stopped, did it? Oh, all right. Duddly-duddly-dum. That's the end of that. 9 minutes past 7 o'clock. Good morning. This is Mike Carlton. Friday, end of this first working week of October. It really is autumn now, isn't it? The leaves are all turning. And sadly, it's pretty boring old weather, though, isn't it? More of it again today, by the look of it, too. Not good at all out there today. Horrible. This hour, we'll preview the last day of the Conservative Conference in Blackpool. John Major makes his speech this afternoon. Also, David Linley, Viscount Linley, marries Serena, and to, this is intriguing, is it farewell at last to Vladimir Ilyich Lenin? A suggestion she's about to be removed from his tomb in Red Square. If indeed it is Lenin, unkind people say it's actually a waxwork, but hard to tell, I suppose. Those stories coming up. First, though, another reverse for British justice yesterday, the Birmingham 6 case. And at the Old Bailey, three West Midlands detectives who'd been accused of perjury and conspiracy to pervert the course of justice were set free. Mr. Justice Garland agreed that the prosecution should be dropped because he said there could not be a fair trial after the intense publicity which had surrounded the case. Now, the Birmingham 6, you remember, were jailed for life in 1975 for those bombings, but were freed on appeal 18 months ago to scenes of wild jubilation outside the court. At that appeal, the judges, though, had some stern words, some harsh words, for some police, who they said had at least been guilty of deceiving the court. At worst, they must have put their heads together to fabricate evidence. Still, yesterday, that's all over. As the three retired detectives walked from the court, they said nothing, leaving their solicitors to make brief statements. This from the lawyer representing Detective Superintendent George Reed, the man who led the original Birmingham 6 investigation.
Can I also say that Mr. Reed would also like to express his gratitude and his thanks to those people who have supported him, and I think he would now respect his privacy in this very trying time. It has indeed been a very considerable strain for him over the last few years. We're not prepared to answer any further questions nor make any further statement at this stage.
Well, four of the Birmingham 6 were in the court yesterday to witness the proceedings, and their anger as they emerged was very plain indeed. One of them, Billy Power, spoke of his disgust.
We had confidence that a jury would have actually heard and listened to what was being said, and the evidence could have been presented to 12 ordinary English people in that court, and they were even frightened to do that.
Now, that was a sentiment echoed by Chris Mullen. He's the Labour MP who'd campaigned for the release of the six and who wrote the book Error of Judgment about their original conviction. But speaking from his constituents in Sunderland, he says the judge's ruling won't really surprise anyone who's followed the case closely.
I think the judge is underrating the capacity of the jury to discriminate on the evidence that's put in front of them. And I must say, there are a lot of cases, particularly ones involving a great atrocity, that do attract enormous amounts of publicity. And no one questions the ability of the courts to have a fair trial in those cases. The only difference in this case is that the sentence of police officers or ex-police officers. So I think the dictum's been that police officers will not be tried in these circumstances, not that ordinary citizens won't. There is one law for ex-police officers and one law for ordinary folks.
Labour MP Chris Mullen. Back outside the court, another member of the six, Paddy Hill, was accusing the British authorities of dishonesty and double standards.
They talk about the publicity around the case, etc., they couldn't get a fair trial. Well, before we even appeared in court in 1974, they had our faces on television, everything. And if anything like that could happen, well, we didn't get a fair trial. But this is always the same when a police officer comes to court for something he's done wrong. There's always this thing about either time or publicity. But it only affects them. It doesn't affect the ordinary citizen. Anybody can go into court. Every court has got to have, every case has got to have publicity of some description. But if the prosecution, if they carried out this case here and gone about in a proper manner, we would have been interviewed at least by the police. They would have taken a statement from us, and they could have gone about calling us as witnesses, but we have never been approached to give any evidence in this case. And in fact, my own personal opinion, what happened here today has been well rehearsed, and it's been orchestrated from beginning to end for it to end up this way.
Paddy Hill, one of the Birmingham Six. This morning, they are mulling over the idea of bringing civil proceedings against those police for malicious prosecution and wrongful imprisonment. There are no decisions being made on that. I thought now we'd take a look at how this case is being viewed from outside Britain, obviously across the Irish Sea. And joining me now on the line from Dublin is an Irish Senator, Dick Roach, who's a senior member of the Fianna Fáil Party and a past chairman of the Irish Commission for Justice and Peace. Senator, good morning.
Good morning.
How is this being viewed in Dublin today?
Well, I don't know whether people were just convinced cynically that this would happen or people are simply disappointed. I personally am very disappointed. I really cannot believe the judgment that was handed down yesterday. I think it's an appalling travesty of justice. And I think yet again it's going to say to many Irish people on both sides of the Irish Sea that there is one standard of justice in Britain for Irish people and an entirely another standard of justice for citizens of elsewhere. I think it's a dreadful judgment. I think Paddy Hill made a very telling point there, a very valid point. There was a huge amount of publicity attendant on their original trial, and yet the original trial wasn't struck down. There was a huge amount of publicity attendant on the various retrials, and that didn't bother the justices in the UK at that stage either. I think you have to, I think I'd have to agree with something that a former chairman of your bar council, Lord Williams, Lord Gareth Williams, said yesterday evening, that, I mean, there was a lot of publicity to other cases. But he points out that the officers of the Guildford 4 case, there's a huge amount of publicity there, and it went ahead. And he also made the point that was made by, I think, by Billy Power yesterday, that if the judge really yesterday didn't give any credence to the capacity of the British jury to actually see through to the facts of the case.
Do you see something sinister behind this then?
See something sinister behind this. I mean, the men were not, they were not at any stage interviewed by the prosecution.
The Birmingham Six?
Yes. Yeah. And that would seem to me to be very bizarre indeed. I mean, anybody who was involved in the case as I was from an early stage would have sat with those men and have heard some quite extraordinary stories. I mean, I remember, again, listening to Paddy Hill, I recall talking to him at length in Longnarton about the night that he was picked up. About how he was initially treated, about how the treatment changed after Mr. Skews had given the extraordinary evidence he did to the police. I remember, oddly enough, talking at that time to the members of the Birmingham Six, who pointed out that they themselves believed that the policemen were under the most horrific strains and pressures to get some sort of prosecution. So I think that this thing is a fit-up. I think if I was living on the far side of the Irish Sea, I would be very, very, very unhappy about the standards of justice.
Sir, to all intents and purposes now, this whole case is closed, underlined, with no result anywhere whatsoever. We don't know who did the bombing. We don't know whether...
Yes, Lord Justice Denning made that point yesterday. He said the Birmingham Six have been acquitted, the police have been acquitted. What is the public to think of our system of law? Indeed, what is the public to think of your system of law? As I said, I feel very unhappy. I'm a member of an Oireachtas. I'm a member of the Parliament over here. And in the last couple of years, we've changed our extradition laws. We've been extraditing people into British courts. I personally now feel very, very unhappy about that process.
Mm. There seems to be, doesn't there, a kernel of disbelief. People here in Britain believe that the Irish courts don't play fair too in matters like this.
Yeah, this is true. I think this is... I'm not sure that there is any basis for this.
But the perception is there.
This perception is certainly there. We have different standards of evidence required in our courts. They're more rigorous standards. And British authorities have been very lackadaisical in presenting cases in Irish courts. And that's why you have had some judgments. We have a very strict system of justice here. And we require standards of evidence which are much higher than standards of evidence that are presented in the British courts. I think this occasionally poses a problem on the technical issues in the way they present cases for the British authorities over here. But that's not an insurmountable problem. That's something they should learn to live with, and that's something that they should learn to adjust.
Yeah, but do you agree there's this core of distrust on both sides, if you like?
Well, I mean, I would say this: there is more objective evidence on which you could base a core of distrust on the Irish side than there is on the British side. We have a consistent record within our courts. I really couldn't see what has happened in the Birmingham Six case happening over here. But could I take it out of the Anglo-Irish core? Because I think that's one of the important points to do here. I mean, if you look at the way, say, the British authorities have looked at, with the Belgium courts in the case of the soccer, the Haitian stadium, the issue there, there is always a reluctance on any nation to send its citizens to another nation to be tried. Now, between our two nations, we have gone to the trouble of putting on our statute book a piece of legislation which allows extraterritorial charging. In other words, which allows a citizen or a person who is alleged to have committed a crime in the United Kingdom to actually be charged in Irish courts. That's not used by the British authorities. My personal belief is, and I think there is some evidence to support this belief, it's not just based on prejudice, that the British authorities are frightened because of the different standards, that the more rigorous standards that we apply in issues relating to evidence and to the presentation of cases. Mm. I think that this particular case is going to cause a lot of heart searching over here and soul searching over here.
Is there a feeling over there that when a great case like this appears, a murderous bombing, is there a feeling that the British police here simply reach out for the nearest suspicious looking Irishman?
Well, that was certainly the case in the Birmingham Six. Remember, the real horror in the Birmingham Six case is that this dreadful outrage, this murderous attack on innocent citizens, has never been properly investigated by the police. Because if you go back to the facts of this particular case, the men were picked up on the ferry. They were fitted up within a matter of, I think, 12 or 16 hours. There was really no proper investigation ever of this case. And the reality of it is that the people who murdered all of those unfortunate men and women who were out enjoying a night in Birmingham all those years ago are still walking around free. And that's the really appalling thing about this. In some sense, some justice has arrived at the doors of the Birmingham Six. Their lives were destroyed, but eventually their names were vindicated. The British judicial system had, I believe, a good day in the Old Court, in the Old Bailey on that day, because I believe that the judges, and I was there throughout the judgment, and I was there throughout the extraordinary moment at the end when the judges they had a small, brief conference on the bench amongst themselves. They didn't leave the court, and they announced that their belief that the men were innocent, and they also made it clear in the subsequent judgment that they were very unhappy with the way the police had treated it. And I think that was a good day for British justice, but I think yesterday was an appallingly dark day. It certainly has set back British justice in the eyes not just of Irish people, but I think of people who have a genuine interest in real justice around the world. And I think it's a dreadful judgment. I go back to what your Lord Denning said, and he would be no friend of these six men. He said, you know, what does the public think of our system of law? Or what indeed?
Senator, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. From Dublin this morning, the Irish Senator Dick Roach, a senior member of the Fianna Fáil Party. Questions to be answered. 21 past seven.
Once again, the world of mobile phones is changing. Charges are coming down, to the point that with one network, some calls are free. There are 10 tariffs with 3 technologies, and it's growing all the time. At the Carphone Warehouse, we make it our business to stock all the technologies and tariffs. In fact, we're major distributors for Vodafone, Cellnet and Mercury 1-to-1. So, for the full picture and a free copy of our 44-page guide, come and talk to us at Harrods Knightsbridge or any Carphone Warehouse store. Marylebone Road, Moorgate, Fleet Street, King's Road, Watford, Croydon and Staples Office Superstore, or call us free on 0800 424 800. That's 0800 424 800.
Okay, children, it's time for make and mend.
Sally Potter is a children's TV presenter, and today, by using a copy of the Evening Standard, she's going to make a brand new 3-bedroom house.
Fold the first page and tape it to the...
What Sally doesn't realise is there's a much simpler approach.
Now stick the other flap opposite the 2 folded adjacent...
By turning to the Evening Standard's property pages every Friday, Sally can find a whole selection of ready-made houses in the new home section.
The back flap up...
It covers flats, studio apartments or 3-bedroom houses for first or second time buyers.
Oh, but make sure you don't stick the sellotape to your hair. Oh!
Oh, dear. New homes stand out every Friday in the Evening Standard.
7:22. The DHL on the lookout, Bramwell.
A very good morning. Morning. Yes, it's Friday. The A1M northbound exit slip. There was an accident there. That's all cleared up now. Slow street, junction with Cadogan, gas main repairs, single alternate line traffic there. You might just get stuck. Temporary traffic lights holding things up. A13 at Cotton Street, westbound, one lane. That's because of gas repairs. Low pit vale. Of course, we've got a multitude of roadworks there, which usually messes up Lewisham High Street a little bit. The M11 junctions 5-4 southbound, they are slow as well. Just coming over the M25, not too bad at all. 15 around there and going down towards Church. It's all moving very, very nicely. This is Brian Wolf, your London lookout, delivered by DHL Worldwide Express. Fred has more.
And Hammersmith Grove, I reported earlier on this morning, southbound was closed, junction Glenthorne Road. I found out why. There was a lorry on fire earlier on. The fire's out, but the lorry's still there. It may catch you by surprise if you're coming down from the Uxbridge Road trying to cut through the Hammersmith one-way system. M41 southbound, there are lane closures there today and tomorrow for roadworks. On the underground, no reported problems, but on British Rail, the signal fault to Arlesford means delays and some cancellations likely on the Clacton, Colchester and Liverpool Street service. Traffic and trains every 10 minutes.
Thank you, Fred. 7:23.
Sainsbury's lamb loin chops, succulent, tasty and now down to a mouth-watering £2.58 per pound. Save 40 pence per pound. Good food costs less at Sainsbury's. Offer excludes tender lean lamb.
Need a telephone answering machine? You'll find hundreds of office equipment suppliers in Business Pages, London's classified directory for people at work.
7:24. So to Blackpool this morning, the last day of the Conservative Conference, John Major's big speech. And joining me for a preview thereof, George Jones, political editor of the Daily Telegraph. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Oh, this is Der Tag. What are we going to hear from the Prime Minister?
Well, we're going to hear, I think, what's being billed as an upbeat, powerful appeal for unity. I think he wants to try and capitalise on the mood of this conference, which, despite all the advanced billing which people like me gave it, has not been as much blood on the carpet, certainly in the conference hall. I mean, there have been noises off, but inside, people have wanted to come together. They've not put on a public display of disunity. So I think he's going to try and appeal to the conference delegates, I mean, not so much go back to their constituencies and prepare for government, but go back to their constituencies and tell their whinging MPs to shut up and fall into line behind the government.
Mm. Lady Thatcher's reception yesterday, was that a little more muted than perhaps had been expected?
It was. I mean, she gets a foot-stamping, clapping appeal from her loyal supporters, but there were a significant number of people in the hall who sat on their hands and then half an hour later got up and cheered John Major and also got up and cheered her assassin of 3 years ago, Michael Heseltine, who came on the platform looking frail but assured journalists in Blackpool last night that he will be back at his desk for the first time on Wednesday. He'll be taking it easy for a couple of months, but he said his doctors have given him the all clear and he's now got to get back to work.
Right, so is there then, George, if you like, a bucket of cold water now poured over all these all the hotheads, is there a feeling that, like him or not, they're stuck with John Major, they've got to make him work?
Well, I mean, conferences are sort of a slight sort of artificial atmosphere, but I think there is a distinct feeling that they've got to give him more time, that they are not ready for a leadership contest. They're not ready to sort of ditch another leader just because they're going through a bad time in the opinion polls. And I think there was also a considerable feeling among many Conservatives that Lady Thatcher's had her day. It's time she sort of stepped back into the shadows and let John Major have the freedom to operate and run the government in the way that he did. So I think what the conference has done has bought him time. And it's also shown that the delegates, I mean, while they're unhappy with things that the government are doing, they've had a bad year, they do want to come together and they want the government to sort of respond. And I think it has shown some efforts of responding with that law and order package, which was the most sort of comprehensive list of measures that I can remember any Home Secretary announcing for 20 years or so.
Right, so the turn to the right has probably satisfied all concerned.
Well, it's not satisfied all concerned. We did have Douglas Hurd last night, who sort of sees himself as this petition conscience figure, warning against a permanent cultural revolution. And he said they should respect public servants, teachers, doctors, policemen, not sort of talk down the work that they do and send them out to the rice fields for re-education.
It's an intriguing prospect. George, thanks very much indeed. Bye-bye. George Jones there, political editor of the Daily Telegraph. John Major's speech in Blackpool today at 7:27.
Just a thought for those of you flying to Rotterdam on the 8:40 from Gatwick. You're cutting it a teensy bit fine if you're not nearing the car park yet. Had you wisely chosen the 9 o'clock Rotterdam flight from London City Airport, you could still be at home in bed. Check-in's only 10 minutes. The car park's 2 minutes away. Still, who needs that business-like efficiency at London City Airport? At Gatwick, you can mingle with the tourists. Watch children frolicking instead.
London City Airport. Flights to Rotterdam and 10 other European business centres. Free call 0500 146 146 for details.
7:28 now, and as if by magic, Nick Leonard with Money Matters this morning. Are you there, Nick?
Good morning, Mike. Good yes, morning. Indeed. I think it's time to take a reading of the Chancellor's Credibility Index, that highly subjective rating, which I launched at 100 back in May when he took office. The last reading was in July. It rose 2 points on July the 16th to 97. There was good data on inflation at that time. Today I'm lowering it a point to 96, partly because the recent data is not quite so good, partly because I have a feeling the Chancellor does not really know just how he's going to get the finances of the nation back in balance without triggering a recession that might actually make them worse. Some kinds of tax increases, for instance, a deferred withdrawal of mortgage tax relief could actually help the economy through the next 18 months of a trough. It could set off a mini-boom in the housing market. Likewise, deferred increases in VAT could push up spending. But I think the real problem is shunting about $20 billion of personal spending and saving into the Treasury without putting a brake on economic activity. If he can pull that off, the chance he will soar.
Mm. How does he do it, then, Nick?
Well, I don't know. I'm waiting to hear on November the 30th.
Okay, thank you, Nick. Their money matters. We're all waiting for November the 30th, no doubt. It is 7:29. Fred.
And around the motorways, no major problems now, but it's building up on the western sector of the M25, anti-clockwise through Junction 16, where the contraflow starts at junction with the M40. Talgarth Road, if you're coming in from the west as you go off the flyover, two problems there, the near side lane closed burst, water main, and also the traffic lights are out at the junction with Glidden Road. Hammersmith Grove earlier on, southbound, closed at Glenthorne Road. There was a lorry on fire, that's out, but the lorry's still there. And the M41 southbound, the lane closure there, coming off the northern roundabout. On British Rail and the Underground, no major problems. Oh, just one coming, the old classic Blackwall Tunnel Southern Approach over Hyde Vehicle.
LBC News Talk 97.3 News.
It's 7:30. I'm Douglas Cameron. The Conservative Party conference comes to an end today with John Major giving the most crucial speech of his political career. He's expected to appeal for party unity and a return to traditional Conservative values. The Chancellor, Kenneth Clarke, who yesterday told the conference that any enemy...